I was going to say, I don't think we can do this with his smiling face on the screen the whole time.
Yeah. Who's smiling face?
Christian Siriano.
We were just watching the Emmys.
Emmy
pre-show.
Oh, it's recording?
Thanks for the update.
You're listening to Read Comics? Florence?
Marty?
Jason?
And Mike.
At long last, Mike is back.
Yay!
From outer space. He just walked in to find us here with blah, blah, blah. On your face.
With blah, blah, blah on his face? Mike, what is that on your face?
I don't know. I gotta wipe more.
I think you've got comic on your face.
Maybe just be mud from the fest.
Yes.
We were out at the Renaissance Festival today.
I wasn't.
Not comic related.
I was at a gay lexicon convention meeting.
Possibly comic related.
Well, we talked about...
Hey.
What?
Do we get to be the official podcast of Gay Lexicon?
Ooh, you know, I bet we could be the official podcast of Gay Lexicon.
Ooh, and you could do your own updates on the spot and this year.
Totally.
Well, I don't know how busy I'm actually going
to
be at the con.
Which means you need to put a link on the Gay Lexicon site to us.
Oh, that's true.
And vice versa.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know how busy I'll actually be at the convention since this will be the first time I've been on a convention committee. I don't know. I mean, I'm doing PR for it up until the convention.
But
so
yeah,
my job should be done. But as a member of the convention committee, I assume that there might be other stuff that I need to do at the convention.
Yeah, but you can just say, no, I only do PR.
That would be pretty bad PR at that point.
So if it crashes and burns, we know who to blame.
Yeah, that's right. I think we're at 54 registered attendees right now. Although some of those are the guests.
Oh, yeah.
Including us?
So,
yeah, including you guys.
Yeah.
Whee!
But not Mike. He hasn't registered yet. I am not registered yet either. Well, see, I can register at the pre-registration price right up until the convention as a member of the convention. So, or as on the committee.
I made you a poster. I should get something for that.
My undying gratitude.
Oh, yeah.
Undying
gratitude had a very short shelf life, it seems like, too.
Are you going to Gay Lexicon this year?
I am not. It is in 2 weeks, and for much the same reason that I am not going to New York to see...
Oh, you're not doing it.
I'm not going to see Billy Elliot, and I'm not going to see Harry's Wand.
Can I buy it? Can I buy the ticket?
Yeah, if you want to buy the tickets.
No, actually, I don't want
to.
Are you going to hitchhike to New York?
If anyone out there wants to buy tickets to see Billy Elliot on Broadway, or Equus on Broadway, Equus starring Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter, naked,
not
on
the whole
Broadway.
Show. Not the whole show. But
I am selling tickets because I can't afford to fly out there and stay out there and everything.
Or, conversely, if you want to buy Jason a ticket to New York.
If you want to buy me a ticket to New York.
Undying gratitude goes
a
long way.
They're... A ticket to New York might get you a little bit more than undying gratitude. Let me tell you.
Might get you a trip to the clinic.
Me? Might get me a trip to the clinic. I'm clean.
So we're essentially whoring Jason out right now on our podcast.
I'm whoring myself out.
I thought that was kind of the point of the whole thing. But
that's the whole point of the podcast?
Yes.
Mike's also single.
Yes.
And speaking of whoring on podcasts, since I'm not going to Gay Lexicon this year, since I'm not going to New York, I am going to go out to Chicago the weekend after that, weekend of October 25th, to the Windy City Comic Con.
Which is the weekend that I am not for work, too.
Do you want to go to Chicago?
I will consider it.
All right.
Driving, flying?
Windy, driving, with probably my friend Ben.
Okay.
So if we can fit 4 people in the car, it'll be better. And 4 people in a hotel room will be better as well.
I'm going to go through that again.
What's that?
I'm going to go through that again, 4 people in a car.
So
4 people in a car is not that
no,
bad. And
no.
It's a one-day convention, so we don't have 3 days to spend
accumulate
money.
Stuff.
Yes.
I didn't know that they had 2 conventions that are so close together.
Well, the Windy City it's the first time this year. Costs $5 to get in.
Hmm.
It's being run by the guys from Around Comics.
Hmm.
Cool.
And it's going to have a whole bunch of artists and stuff like that. They're writers, artists, local Chicago people. I listened to this week's Around Comics podcast, and they had one of the comic book queers guys on it, and they were talking about Windy City Comic Con, which is being held at the Center on Halsted, which is, as Chris from Around Comics said, right in the heart of Wrigleyville. And then one of the other guys said, it's in the heart of something else, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
The Center on Halsted is pretty much the, I thought it was the GLBT Center on Halsted, but it's just called the Center, and they probably have to have it open to all members of the community to get, like, any
publicly
kind of,
funded?
It's probably publicly funded,
okay.
Yeah. But it makes it very convenient for, after the convention, to go to the bars.
Yes, that will be very much fun.
Yes.
Speaking of other conventions, right around the corner is FallCon.
FallCon is in 2 weeks.
Yes. Closer to home.
I'm thinking of actually going to volunteer there.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I got on that, I sent an email about it.
To volunteer?
Yeah.
So what are you doing
to your
face? What are you talking about?
My eyes itch.
Oh.
And you haven't even been in the hot tub tonight.
No, but I want to go later.
What is this related to FallCon?
So what do you want, what are you going to volunteer to do?
I don't know. I'm going to send an email and see what they need volunteers for.
They basically just put you on a list and then they send out updates.
You
okay. Get to clean the bathrooms.
I've only gotten one, so I think.
What is it? What has it said?
It said, I don't know. I didn't read it very closely.
You get to clean the bathrooms after all these.
I would
nerds.
Believe that they probably have a janitorial staff hired by the state fair for that.
Maybe.
Probably.
And that's probably a union thing, so they probably wouldn't let volunteers do it.
Probably right.
Which is I'm okay with.
Yeah.
You don't want to clean the bathroom?
Not after a comic book convention.
From what I understood, it was they were actually just looking for people to help set up and tear down now.
Oh, really?
But I don't know if that's...
Well, you know, I actually don't mind doing... I mean, basically it's putting up tables, taking down tables, stacking tables.
Yeah.
So,
and it also means that then you're not busy during
the con, yeah.
So there was an email that I received. I'm sure you guys received the same email about FallCon. Actually, about the, who is it, Minnesota, who puts on FallCon?
The Midwest Comic Book Association.
Midwest, yes.
And I posted about that on the site, actually.
You did?
Yeah.
What did you
recently?
Post about?
Yeah,
about
the
Mayoral Proclamation.
The Mayoral Proclamation.
Oh.
Comic Day.
Yes.
Midwest Comic Book Association Day, October 4th.
Yes.
Whereas
the mayor of St. Paul.
Chris Coleman.
Yes.
It's
and
him.
I thought it was a joke at first.
Did you?
Yeah. I was
oh.
like, whatever.
Oh, you know, I mean, it's exciting, but, I mean, seriously.
It amounts to nothing,
they,
really.
They
yeah.
put out those proclamations all the time.
Yeah. Next year will be something different. But I did what? Why would I rename that? Why would I proclaim that?
They
just put the stuff in front of my face and I signed them. So.
Yeah. Well,
is it just
it
one
does,
day? It's not like next year will be annually?
Oh, no. It's October 4th, 2008 is Midwest Comic Book Association Day. They generally don't carry over from year to year.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's basically to celebrate, to commemorate the 20th anniversary. And, you know, what they'll get is a nice letter with the city seal and his signature and stuff like that. And scroll work.
Ooh, pretty.
Ooh, pretty.
But part of the reason why is because they do a lot for, like, donating comics to, free comics to, I think, educational purposes.
Hospitals,
yeah.
And they
so,
do the food drive.
Yeah, so there's, you know, it's just not because Chris Coleman likes comics or anything like that. So, which maybe he does, you never know.
His son likes to dress in tights.
He's not the Batman out there or anything like that.
No. Chris Coleman's son was a flying monkey.
In
Wicked on Broadway.
I did not
really?
Know that. Yeah. Wow. It would have been more interesting if he was Batman or Superman. anyway, what are you people reading?
Well, I brought with
they
me...
They can't respond to us, Mike. This is one way.
I'm talking to you three.
Are we done talking about the various conventions?
I don't know.
Are you?
Apparently you got something else to say.
Well, no, I'm just, I am excited to go
is there
to
a flying monkey convention?
No.
Because there should be.
Well, there is a Wizard of Oz convention.
Yeah.
It's actually held in Minnesota. Well, kind of. I mean, there's Judy Garland Days up in Grand Rapids, Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
I knew about that.
Kind of celebrates Judy Garland and mostly the Wizard of Oz, you know, her most famous role.
Thanks,
Marty. The song stylings of Martin Grind. Oh, and that's a nice kiss. From
nice condescending kiss.
It was a little condescending, yes.
Oh, you're cute. Oh, you'd like to pretend to sing.
I'm just excited. I think it's going to be one of the biggest that they've had. They moved it to the grandstand from the building it was in.
We're talking about FallCon.
Yeah, FallCon. And I hope that a lot of out-of-towners come. And I'm going to have flyers there for GalaxyCon.
Do you have any of
your... I said that last year, I think, didn't you?
No, I didn't have flyers. I just... That's where we invited Terrence Group. No, and it wasn't at FallCon. It was at MicroCon.
Right.
Have you talked to any of your Chicago podcast friends to coming to FallCon?
I...
See how we throw a convention that
I'm going
laugh at
to.
Us
I've
and
been,
scoff at us? And
I've been posting
be like,
on
this
the
is a convention.
Boards.
Really? This is like a store.
Whatever. It's
in Chicago.
It's not Wizard World, but then we don't have the backing of Wizard Entertainment either.
No.
Hmm.
Nor do we want
we
it.
We should.
I agree with Mike. We don't want the backing of Wizard.
Wizard is run by a bunch of fickle fanboys, is what they are. Am I saying something inflammatory again?
FallCon is probably on par with some other conventions of
possibly
cities our size.
Judy Garland Days?
Yes.
Judy Garland Days. I'll bet it's not. I'll bet Judy Garland Days gets more...
Judy Garland Days?
What is it?
You said Julie Garland.
No, I said Judy.
You said Judy.
Judy.
Garland.
Garland.
Yes.
Yes. That's all what right. I said.
How dare you take her name in vain.
Julie Garden.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, then.
So, back to what we're reading.
I brought with me a copy of The Prism Guide to Comics, 2008.
Which is, I'm displaying one for everyone to see.
Found a copy of it at Hot Comics and Collectibles in New Hope.
Now you're going to tell me they can't see us either.
So, did it come out recently?
It comes out around Pride Week, I think.
So it's been out.
So it's been out for a while.
Here's a quote from it. Everyone lives in fear of death, but not I. Okay.
Good job reading it,
yes.
Mike.
It was from a Victorian-looking section of the comic.
Yeah, it's really cool. I was just looking through
it.
I want to read it.
Yeah, there's
They had two other copies at Hot Comics.
Part of the beginning of it that I was paging through was a report card on... kind of, I guess, the gay state of comics or how certain comics portrayed gay characters or gay storylines and gave them, you know, the standard ratings A+ through F or whatever. And the part that distressed me about it was how few entries there were. Out of this pretty large book, it maybe was 4 pages long, and it's like, is there really that few mainstream comics that feature gay characters?
Yes.
And I think the answer is yes.
And the answer would be yes. And many of them have, there are more lower grades like C's, D's, and F's
than
A's and B's. Well, you
mentioned JSA getting an F.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why JSA gets an F is because of the character of Obsidian, who in, Obsidian was a character from back in Infinity Inc. He and his sister Jade were the kids of Alan Scott, the original Green Lantern. And he turned evil for a while in JSA, Obsidian did, in the relaunch of JSA. Not in the Justice Society, but in the relaunch of JSA. He was evil for a while. And then in Manhunter, his character was... his character came out of the closet.
How long ago was this?
Manhunter was within the last couple of years.
Okay.
JSA
was he still evil?
Before that. No, now he's a shadow in the walls of the new Justice Society brownstone.
No, but I mean, in the Manhunter, when he came out, was he evil?
No, he wasn't evil.
Okay.
So and really, he had stopped being a superhero at that point.
Oh.
And his character was gay, and he was dating another gay character in Manhunter. And then Manhunter got canceled, and he went back to being Obsidian in the New Justice Society, but all he is a shadow that lurks around the Justice Society Brownstone. He's officially Brownstone Security. He has shadow powers. And, basically, he has not been treated well as a character over the past years.
Portrayed inconsistently.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to some of the various entries they have in there on North Star in Marvel Comics, who, you know, and I don't know how far back this report card goes, but they were talking about stuff that happened several years ago, and as recently as last year. So apparently it, you know, either...
It's kind of cumulative.
Yeah, it's either cumulative or it's, or they just hold grudges.
This is not like they this may not year. Have... This is just saying, the introduction says, in a year when we lost a captain and Kingdom Come is surely inevitable, it's hard not to admit that the mainstream comic continuities are in upheaval. With so many bold stories being published and new ideas entering the fold, the time seems right for a movement toward greater inclusion of LGBT characters and stories in comics. Let's grade how far things have progressed, gay-wise.
So, it is cumulative.
It is, yeah.
And this is probably an article that's not in every annual that comes out.
It should be, though. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's cool.
But yes, North Star did not get a good grade due to the inconsistencies of his character and the fact that they kind of called him a yo-yo character. He's dead, he's alive, he's brainwashed, he's not brainwashed, he's...
Oh, you mean like Wolverine?
Wolverine's actually very much always portrayed the same way, just very, you know, banal. Just
banal.
Banal.
Whoa.
More appropriate for a little bit.
What? Mario, what are you wowing at, Marty?
Well, they give the authority an F, and I just read the little,
little
business. And it's the new authority, of which there are only two issues out. Although, now, it's saying it launched in late 2006?
It did. Obviously, a schedule is not a big priority for them.
Wow. Okay, so anyway, it says... Our only gripe is that Midnighter's attitude is a tad bit rougher than what it is in his current standalone title, and that Jenny Quantum refers to Apollo as uncle instead of dad. And I was like, really? That's annoying.
Yeah, that's why they gave him the F?
Apparently.
Yeah, the grades also seem very extreme in there, too.
Yeah.
There's a scene of, like, they're sort of exiled from one another circumstances. Where they see each other for a moment and are just both so happy and grateful to have that like moment of connection to rejuvenate themselves. I mean, the relationship is still front and center in the comic. And
the Midnighter series gets an A+.
What?
Yeah, which I really wanted to read, but
really?
We haven't yet.
Yeah.
The Annihilation Conquest. No, not Annihilation Conquest. Annihilation, the first series. The finale gets a D, but their critique was, this is actually pretty cool, there's just a lot going on. But that was the only negative thing that they had to say about it.
That's not really bad.
And
what
is it actually doing?
Manhunter gets an F, and they don't really say anything bad about it either.
Well,
it says, this series has always delivered great stories and wonderful appearances from Obsidian and his boyfriend Damon. Unfortunately, they weren't seen much this year.
Oh,
so
it gets an F because they left the gay characters out this year.
Yeah.
Well, it also got canceled for
a
year or so.
Yeah.
Ezreal, if you don't have anything to contribute, get away from the microphone.
Cat sitting on computer. Okay. Come on, sweetie.
Okay, pick Ezreal up.
No, Ezreal doesn't like to be picked up at all.
Yeah,
Well, Ezreal has to.
Okay, but so before this section, there's actually one other thing in between the table of contents and the rest of the content of the book. It's Where is Prism Comics? Postcards from 2007, and this is basically just saying where they were in 2007.
Well,
and which is cool and all, but I want it for 2008. Where are they gonna be?
That's probably on the website. Hopefully in 2009, Prison Comics will be at Gay Lexicon in the Twin Cities.
Well, it doesn't say Gay Lexicon here.
Well, that's they may not have been invited. Plus, one of our guests for 2009 is going to be Andy Mangles, who is kind of in, he has a good connection.
Has to do with Prism.
To Prism, so.
You should invite Neil Patrick Harris for his Dr. Horrible work.
Yes, we would love to get Neil Patrick Harris. We would, I mean, we possibly would.
Jason's having a little orgasm.
Well, all right, I have to say that.
His boyfriend, like,
one of the things we were watching on the Emmys was Neil Patrick Harris with his boyfriend David, and wow, wow,
cute
so
couple.
Cute.
You just want to package him up and bring him home and display him on your mantle.
Anyway,
like Dr. Horrible might have done with his,
possibly. I just noticed that the Dr. Horrible soundtrack is available on iTunes now.
Ooh, yeah.
Which is stupid because to buy the soundtrack costs more than to buy the series.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it's $10 to buy
okay,
the
that's ridiculous.
Soundtrack. It was $1.99 per episode. $6 for the three episodes, $10 for the music from the three episodes.
Yeah, you know what? I'll just write to Neil Patrick Harris and say, hey, I'm having a sci-fi convention.
Well, you
the
should. Why not?
It wouldn't hurt to try.
Yeah,
well, I guess.
It
you're right.
While you're at it, if you want to get Joss, I can
totally.
Guarantee you a few more people.
Yes, true.
A few
that's
more people
true.
Will register.
Yeah, but I mean.
But the thing is.
Maybe
is that,
Neil Patrick Harris will just decide to come and not,
for,
in an unofficial capacity.
As far as both Neil
that
Patrick Harris
steal
and Joss Whedon go, we are already full up on our guests of honor. Now, I suppose if we could get them, that would increase our membership, thus increase our budget, thus we could probably afford more guests of honor. However, if Joss Whedon and or Neil Patrick Harris required any sort of, you know...
amenities?
Airfare, things like that, we probably couldn't afford them. Chances are that we couldn't... But if
who
they
was the person that
like
you asked
for, free...
for, and then they told you they're
oh Perry Moore.
Perry Moore.
Yeah.
Who's that?
He's the one who wrote Hero and has that list of how bad stuff happens to all gay characters.
Yes. Oh my God! I totally wanted to bring this up. Change of topics now, which I guess it's time anyway.
Sure.
Perry Moore had an interview on Newsarama. One of our competitor sites, probably, you know.
Yeah, right.
That's what I always call them, our competitors.
Our illustrious, distinguished
yes.
competition.
Distinguished competition, you know. They're kind of stealing a few of our listeners from us. but anyway, had an interview with him who wrote the book Hero, which is about a gay teenage superhero, which I have not read yet, but I want to. Referred to a list of superheroes and villains on his site, and gay superheroes and supervillains, and commented on how badly they were being treated. You know, all the transgressions against gay characters in comics. So I went to go take a look at it, and to me, the list was very nitpicky.
Didn't you actually bring this up on a previous podcast?
Well, God, I hope not. No?
No.
I don't think so.
Did all I? Right, well, go over it again.
Yeah, who cares? It's probably not the same people.
Do you remember
me.
Going over this?
Well, I remember you telling this story.
I might have talked
table,
to you guys about it.
But we were talking about at the table over there. Go ahead. Tell the story again.
Okay.
It's a refresher.
Anyway, went to read the
list.
It was very nitpicky. Made an email to... the guy, you couldn't just post comments. You had to submit a comment and then to him. Said that I didn't like some of the... that I didn't think he was looking at the whole story. He talks about how, you know, anytime a character died, it seemed like they were, you know, it was a slam against gay characters. Take, for example, the couple Mystique and Destiny. Long-time lesbian couple in Marvel. Now, back in the 90s... Destiny died. She was able to see the future, died in a battle, and that was considered a negative for gay characters. I pointed out that, well, she kind of redeemed her life of villainy at the end. She saw the future in that, saw Mystique's death, unless she sacrificed herself. And that's not entirely the whole story, but that's kind of, you know, nuts and bolts of it. Kind of sacrificed herself so that Mystique could live, which I thought was a very redeeming quality.
A romantic gesture.
And, I think the quote was, like, she was trying to get the character Forge to go to help Mystique, and she was like, you know, if you don't, then Mystique will die, and that I won't allow. And so then he did, and then the villain shows up and kills Destiny. So, obviously she saw it coming, she redeemed herself, saved Mystique, the woman she loved, and, you know, took her place in death. And I didn't think that he was really looking at the whole story when he made the comment about it being a negative against gays. So I sent the email off to him, said that I think the challenge with gays in comics is to be portrayed more consistently and in a more accurate light, rather than trying to keep them from seeing any adversity at all, which is kind of comes along with the territory of being in comics.
Right. I mean, that's the point
yeah.
of a story, is
right.
to have conflict. And,
yes.
Yeah.
And he wrote back and said he really appreciated them, asked if he could post the comments, which, you know, actually I don't think I replied. said he hopes I read his book anyway, and so I really appreciated the response from him, I guess.
Yeah.
It would have been very nice of me to have responded to that, but I'm not very good with responding to emails, so.
Well, how long ago was this?
Months now.
Not. You say months as in it's like half
more
a year or something.
One?
I would say maybe two.
Well, 2 months, yeah, that's still a while.
Maybe a couple months. And I don't think we did podcast about it because
yeah, I think we discussed it.
I think we discussed it when I wanted to submit the novel as the comic book book club entry.
Oh, okay.
And Marty kind of shot that down.
Marty's
no, it's not going to happen. Uh-huh.
Marvel shot it down. Marvel said, I'm sorry, that novel is not actually a comic book.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So technically we should not even be speaking of the book because it's not a comic book. Yes.
We speak about lots of stuff that aren't comics.
I know.
But are tangential.
So basically
related.
What you were saying was that you were nitpicking his nitpicking.
I wasn't nitpicking
him.
I think
that's a legitimate point.
I think that if you're going to complain
and you know what?
About the way
Destiny is really old. She was really old anyways, so she
yeah. deserved to die.
She hasn't come back yet. That's one of the deaths that has not been yet resurrected. I'm sure there's somebody from Marvel listening to this right now going, ooh, idea.
Bring her back.
Although
the other 10 people listening from Marvel are like, no.
Right. Well, she has definitely stayed in the stories, though. You know, they revealed that she had written a series of diaries outlining the future of the mutant race when her powers first manifested, so there's this big search for Destiny's diaries and everything. They keep bringing her up in relation
to Mystique.
Do they refer
to those as the double Ds?
Sorry. Not until
Where's
this
that
moment.
Squirt bottle? Where's the squirt bottle?
Marty's being naughty, so we must squirt him with water.
Like a cat.
So Astral just ran away at your mention of this idea.
Yeah.
Squirt bottle.
So Jason's reading a
Prison.
Book about comics.
Yeah.
What
Which
are you
it's
reading,
not really
Mark,
a book.
Marty?
It's kind of like a thick comic. Like maybe a trade. Like
yes.
a trade paperback.
So what are you reading, Marty?
Oh, I'm in the middle of the thing that we borrowed from you. What's it called?
Rising Stars.
Which
J. Michael Straczynski.
Yes, which is, you know, really good. I just started the second portion. I'm on, like, issue 9 or 10, I forget which. And I read through, like, one half and zero and one quarter or whatever the fuck they all are.
What is your review
Well, so far I'm really digging it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm liking it a lot more than I thought I would. I kind of thought it was more... I guess I thought it was more soap opera-y.
Yeah.
But it turns out, you know, it's like, there's a really driving story. There's lots of things happening. Although, it does seem like the beginning of the second portion, like, less is happening. Somehow, like, there was this huge cataclysmic event that changed all these superheroes' lives.
The destruction of Chicago or whatever it
was? Well, I haven't quite gotten to that yet. So, I mean, I mean, I do know that it's happened. I just, like, there haven't been any details.
Yeah, well, that's what I warned you. But the start of the second arc is slow and wordy, but it gets going again.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, but, I really dug the first arc a lot, so.
I think Rising Stars is something that really begs to be made into a movie.
Yeah, it could so easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be cool. I also read this week PS238, the first trade, and then proceeded to order...
Do you have the trade?
I do. I have the first trade.
Oh, my God. I want
and then I immediately ordered the next three or four.
Ooh, what is PS238?
So fucking awesome.
I have not heard of this.
It is essentially... I think it was a webcomic first, but it's a comic about like a underground school for superhero children, like a grade school for children, and... It's underneath a real school because they couldn't get, like, accreditation. And, like, it's just so, like, kind of tongue-in-cheek and snarky and fun. And, I mean, and yet at the same time,
it's
like,
Aaron
easily...
Aaron Williams, right?
Yeah. Who also does the Nodwick.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the...
Nodwick has never really interested me that much, so...
Well,
is it
this is
same,
superheroes.
Is it the same kind of style
tower.
Story, same type of art and everything?
You need to read it.
It's really...
It's very different from Nodwick. It's not the same at all.
Okay.
And, you know, I was kind of surprised. I guess I didn't really... Going into it, I didn't know much about it or him. I had just read a free, like, the second issue that someone had handed out at, like, in front of a... I think it was Fall Con last year. Yeah, it was so good. Like, I just can't get over it. How great it was.
Okay, everyone go read it.
Yeah.
That's your homework assignment.
Well, you know, and the funny thing is, like, it's really kind of expensive. Like, it's hard to find. It's in black and white. It's, like, $15 or $16. It's basically just as cheap to buy it from him directly as it is to, you know, to find it. But so anyway, I don't remember. I was going to say something else about it. Oh, but the guy's website sucks.
Nice.
Well, and for having webcomics? Come on.
Well, you know, there are lots of webcomics out there where the webcomic itself is quite good, but the site design is terrible.
Well, this is the epitome of that, and, like, way worse. This is the worst one I've seen.
There is a webcomic that the webcomic itself was pretty good, except every time you click next, you had to scroll down at least half a page to actually get to the comic.
I thought you were going to say there was an ad, because that's the problem here. Like, you click next, and, like, it's not every time, but, like, every third or fourth time, you get a full-page ad. You know, the kind where you have to say,
skip to the content.
That's
becoming more and more common.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
You see that everywhere. You see that on huge sites like EW.com and stuff like that.
If I see that, I just close the window. There's almost never will I actually click through. That's bullshit.
Salon does that, but it you only do it once every 24 hours. And that's if you haven't paid for a premiere thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, stuff like that, I don't mind terribly, but yeah, if I'm seeing it like more than once on a site...
Yeah, that's...
If someone paid you to do that, you'd take the money and put it on your website, too.
On Read Comics?
How much are they paying?
How much are they paying?
I don't know.
Probably not.
Any money would be more than what we're getting right now.
Yeah, but if it was like $5, would you do it?
Do you think it's
no
per?
Well, definitely not.
I don't
per.
Know. How, well, I have no idea how.
It's pennies per time it's displayed, for sure. Pennies, and I don't know. I mean, depending on his traffic, it could amount to some amount.
Any advertisers out there, we're willing to listen to your pitch.
That's not really how it works.
No, probably not.
Sure. Well, it's hosted, I think his site is hosted on somebody kind of big. I don't know, I'm forgetting, but anyway, that was really good. I read something else, too, this week. I read a bunch of shit that I haven't gotten around to reviewing yet. I read the Zombies versus Robots. I think I talked about that last time, though. I also read that Spider-Man thing.
Spider-Man Reign.
Yeah.
About.
Yep, that was pretty fun. That was pretty good. Well, fun.
It was entertaining.
It was entertaining.
I thought it was fun.
But yeah, maybe fun's the wrong word. It was fun to see Spider-Man as an old geezer and all senile and shit.
And yet, J. Jonah Jameson was still alive.
Oh, yeah, and he's
was
kind
Aunt
of
May
like,
still alive?
In a way, he's like the hero at the
no,
end.
Aunt May was not alive. That's
no.
True. Yes, yes, he is the one who
sort of saves the city.
Does he get superpowers?
No, he gets
no
Spider-Man to come back.
Yeah. He, like, incites Spider-Man to, like, become active again. And then he also kind of incites crowds.
You know, it's kind of a V for Vendetta story.
In a way, yeah.
It's very, it seems very inspired by V for
Vendetta. Wasn't it Kerr Andrews?
Oh, yeah.
That might have been the art. Was
yeah,
Andrews.
That, I just, as soon as I said that, I realized, oh, no, that person's an artist.
It's not. It
Fiona
wasn't Brian K. Vaughan,
Fiona
was it?
Avery?
It was Kerr Andrews. Jose Villarubia.
What was the art?
I don't know if we can hear you from over there.
I'll be right there.
Just bring it over.
And bring over PS138, too.
Okay.
What are you reading, Florence?
Yes, Florence, what are you
Florence
reading?
Florence is doing stuff on the iPhone.
It's like her best bud now.
Yeah, it's a little
checking
bit of
checking out dresses for the Emmys. What are you going to wear to the Emmys, Florence?
Yeah, I'll be right over.
So,
what are you reading, Florence?
I read a text from a friend, and then I started getting distracted by a blog post.
Well, comic-wise, what have you been reading?
Oh.
We welcome Florence back to the podcast.
Yes, the recording is still going on.
Actually, I've been reading a novel all week, so I haven't. I read all the new comics that came out last week, which included the newest Walking Dead, which was very good, and the newest Echo, and the newest Sword. So it was a good week for me, but I felt like I devoured all three, you know, within an hour
well,
of going to the comic
comics,
shop, and that was
now.
It for the week. Yeah. Well, Sword in particular had like three or four words for the entire comic. It was all action, and kind of it went very, very fast. And it's been the second or third issue in a row that's been like that, where it's like, okay, we get that there's a battle going on, but do you really need to take three issues?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, yeah, and this issue, I mean, we could probably count the words. There was like, you know, I mean, there was dialogue probably on every page, but it was things like, umph, rah, arg.
And then whoosh.
Someone's getting their arm cut off. Let me see this.
Okay, here one says, you're finished. And that's, like, the first dialogue in pages and pages. Where are you? And stop hiding, you coward.
Well, you know.
And a few more pages. No.
And then more.
And that's it. That's it. That's the
yeah.
whole thing.
This is very violent.
It really is,
yeah.
Yeah.
And there's some dialogue in the beginning as well.
Yeah.
Got a
and
hot boy on the cover.
Yeah. The whole, I mean, I would recommend the title, but it's just moving very slowly just at the moment.
Yeah. And you know what? I felt like there was a point in Girls where it was also moving very slowly,
yeah.
but it was way later. It
yeah.
was like issue, you know, 20 before.
It was more. Wait, this is. It almost seems like it's trying to be a climax already.
Yeah,
it's
I think. Well, it probably is going to be a climax. I mean, if she kills him, you know.
Yeah, but I don't know if it would. She would.
Well, right now, it, like you know, it's a cliffhanger, of course, and like she's almost dead. But you know, that's happened before.
Yeah. But he is the hottest character, so I don't know if they'll kill him.
Oh, whatever. He's like a... He loves his sister. He deserves to die. They're going to kill him off because he wants incest.
Is this the guy that you're talking about? The guy that
yeah.
lost an arm?
Yeah.
Oh, and his back got shredded.
Yeah.
But he's also...
But he has power over water. I mean, yeah, he's like...
I don't need that stuff if I have power over water.
Did you also mention Echo? It
yes.
seems like Echo and Sword are coming out every week together, or every month together. And, you know, every as much as I love the art in Sword, I love the story in Echo every month. Like, it's so fucking good.
Yeah. Well, and we should mention, Sword is coming out by the Lunar Brothers, and Echo is coming out by Terry Moore formerly of Strangers in Paradise. And
now
this is
of Runaways.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. The first Runaways that she came back.
You're so excited about that, aren't
well,
you, Florence?
I've taken it out of my poll.
Really?
Yeah.
How come?
I don't like it. I don't like the voices of these characters that I thought I knew. I feel like it's been taken way too far from a time that I thought it was fun and I connected with it, and it just gets further and further with every guest author. And as much as I adore the guest authors, it's just making me angry now to pick it up and feel like it's being mangled.
I think I'm giving it a little bit more time. Terry Moore's only had one issue of it, so...
So who knows what could happen.
But his version of Chase was so dumb.
Yeah.
And such a throwback.
It is kind of, have been kind of made stereotypes of the type of characters are supposed to be. You know?
Yeah, which,
he's the
it never
dumb
felt
teen.
Like originally.
I like the idea that he has to get a job, though.
Okay.
He's the 18-year-old. He needs to get a job so that they have money. So, and obviously Chase is not going to take to that very, very well, so.
Yeah. But,
Florence.
Yeah. No. Oh.
Florence just turned over Gravel issue 5 because she couldn't look at it.
Why?
That's the other thing I read this week. The
cover's really gross.
The cover was like, oh, you know what? I haven't read this yet.
Let me see. That's what I had to do with the Walking Dead trades. I had to keep them covered so I didn't have to look at it.
Why is that gross?
It's like a drooling dog and like some fat guy with a cigarette.
Creepy dog.
Yeah,
no.
It's creepy. So here's
and
Spider-Man
Warren Ellis's standards, that's very tame.
Sure.
So, Spider-Man Reign, written and artisted by Care Andrews.
Marty's inventing words now.
The art is actually really cool in this.
Written and artisted.
Really? I thought it was kind of simplistic. It, like, seems very two-dimensional. Well, it is too dimensional.
Maybe it's the coloring. Actually, as I'm looking back at this, it's the coloring that I think really did it for me. I like it a lot, the shading.
Did you know you're supposed to be wearing 3D glasses while you read this?
Oh! I didn't know that.
That was very laser-like.
Let me see the colors.
But it's kind of all in subdued tone. It's darker. Just very dark.
Oh, yeah.
And the other thing that I read, now to be complete, tell everything that I read this week... I also read The Goon Rough Stuff that Susie gave us. And this was also really good. I really liked it. I mean, it was...
Had you read any Goon before?
Up. Yeah, the only Goon I'd read was on Dark Horse Presents online.
Oh, okay.
And I read the whole, like, three-part series online, and that was fun. But, I mean...
I like The Goon. I mean, The Goon character himself is... You know, there's really not a lot to him. It's all the other characters that
stuff
make it.
Stuff is happening around him, yeah. And this kind of gives the history of him, which, you know, is pretty cool. It's not, like, amazing, but...
The stuff that he did, that Eric Powell did before...
it's the earliest stuff, apparently.
Yeah, it's the stuff that wasn't done directly for Dark Horse.
Yeah.
And so the character designs are rougher. They... did you read the introduction?
Yeah.
So he kind of talks about how that some of this stuff.
He basically says it's all really rough and, you know, it's called rough stuff.
I think he said something about how he might be a little embarrassed by some of this.
Yeah. It says, oh, and by the way, if this is your first exposure to the Goon, pick up the new series. It makes this stuff look like crap. I thought it was pretty fun, actually.
Goon is an awesome, awesome comic.
I have never read it.
Oh, yeah.
It says, no chimpanzees were harmed in the making of this comic, except for that one that we stapled to a table and bludgeoned with a baseball bat. But Honest Injun, that was the only one.
Honest Injun.
Yeah.
I would suggest not starting with this one, but start with some of the other ones, and then go back and read this one.
Do we have any of the other ones?
Nope.
I've got them all from the library.
Right now?
No, I have gotten
you
them
have
all.
Have gotten them, yes.
So the library does have all of them.
He doesn't return them.
Oh my god. I need to return more to the library.
So you can get more from the library.
Yeah, I need to... Oh. There's not enough time. I need to sequester myself for a year.
Just read comics.
Just read comics for a whole year. Not talk to anybody.
Yeah, the social skills will be very improved at the end of that year. You'll become one of those people we make fun of at Convergence.
Yeah.
Once a year.
Right. So if you want to meet the Reed Comics, I almost said something else. If you want to meet the Reed Comics gang, we will all probably be at FallCon.
Yep.
Not in an official capacity, not with a table or anything. We'll just be there. So if you recognize us, say hi.
Yeah,
we never have posted our pictures on the website, have we?
Well, so far
we
only
did on the, we had the little thumbnail of the,
yeah,
of the photos of us with the podcast.
With the other podcasters in Chicago?
Oh,
no,
that's right.
No, well, there's that, and you also created that one with the four of our pictures.
Was that posted online ever?
I don't think
I ever posted.
No,
that.
I thought that was the little icon.
I would
for
much
the
rather
stuff.
Have a more recent one, personally.
Yeah.
I don't need the before pictures to be here. This is not comic related, but this is exciting. I discovered that there is a piece of information on my driver's license that is now incorrect. It's been incorrect in a bad way for a long time. This piece of information is usually incorrect on most people's driver's licenses.
Gender.
But now it's incorrect in a good way. Can anybody guess what that is?
I would say weight, probably.
I weigh less than what it says on my driver's license now.
Wow.
Thank you, thank you. I got a gold star at Weight Watchers for that.
Wow. Awesome. Jason is the most disciplined of all of us. We just sit in awe.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm really all that disciplined. I just don't go crazy anymore when it comes to food.
Crazy.
Well,
so did we cover everybody? Everybody's reading habits? What have you read, Mike?
Mine? We didn't cover mine yet.
Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. We're wrapping up now.
Well, I wish I had better stuff to report, but unfortunately, you know, I stick primarily to Marvel stuff, and as most people out there who read Marvel knows, it's not in a good state lately. Especially over the last 3 months.
Are you saying that Secret Invasion is not the best event comic ever?
Everything nowadays is tied to Secret Invasion. Not that it's necessary to read them, but the ones I just happen to be reading are tied to Secret Invasion. So there's no getting away from Skrulls. Which, when the event launched, I was excited about it. I thought this is a great setup. It's a great potential, and they kind of squandered it in every possible way they could.
Really?
It wasn't. It very quickly did not become a question of who's a Skrull. Maybe Reed Richards a Skrull. Maybe Tony Stark's a Skrull. And they did do some of that stuff, but not in an interesting way. It basically became clear that who the Skrulls were obvious, and they weren't really replacing the characters that they were portraying as. You see these super Skrulls that have powers of everybody that show up, and they're always in Skrull form. There's obviously a few exceptions to that, like Spider-Woman and Hank Pym are the two most obvious Skrull replacements. Elektra was another one.
Kidnapped
the person and
replaced them. Whereas other times, it's Tony
it's
Stark is in
obvious.
California.
Well, Tony Stark,
and
they've
then,
never
oh,
confirmed
why
that Tony Stark was a Skrull or not. In fact, it's pretty obvious that he's not a Skrull.
Well, but what I mean
yeah.
is, what I mean, if you see a Skrull, if you see Tony Stark is a Skrull, that could just mean that Tony Stark is on the other side of the world right now, and you have a Skrull
imitating
him while he's
possibly,
out of town.
But they haven't even really addressed that either. It's just basically this non-constant, long, boring fight. that it's just not interesting. Like the last
kinda
time
like
we podcasted, last time we podcasted about Secret Invasion, and there was the spaceship that landed in the Savage Land, and all these 70s heroes came out. And everyone's like, oh my god, who's a Skrull? Which one's a Skrull? Which one's not? Well, it turns out all of them are Skrulls. So, boring revelation there. Oh my god, all these superheroes that came from outer space, they're all Skrulls. So, no major... major.
How shocking!
Yeah, so...
all the 70s ones?
Yeah, so that story went nowhere at all. It was just kind of... In fact, it diverted from the main story, I think.
The one person that we thought was a real person was Mockingbird. We thought she was back from the dead. So she comes back, you know, with much fanfare. Everyone loved it. Oh my God, Mockingbird's back. Disappears for 3 episodes, issues. Then the next time she comes back, she's instantly revealed to be a Skrull. So they've totally taken away any emotional resonance that we might have had with the character upon her return. And
does Mockingbird have a lot of emotional resonance with that?
Well, I was excited about her coming back. I liked her character.
Alright.
And it would have been, you know, when she was revealed to be a Skrull, it was kind of just like, oh, okay, whatever.
Was one of the superheroes that came out of the, one of the 70 superheroes that came out of the ship, was it Dazzler with roller skates? And
no, I didn't see Dazzler in there. No.
Oh, I mean, she was like the ultimate 70s character with her roller skates.
I know.
And her shiny mirror purse.
Yeah. You know, elsewhere outside of Secret Invasion, it's a little bit more interesting inside each of the individual comics, but not overly. You know, X-Factor had two new, or was built to have two new characters joining. Darwin, who I could really care less about, and Longshot, who I was really excited about. And then Longshot was instantly revealed to be a Skrull.
Is the real Longshot dead? Or what's up with the real Longshot?
I'm sure he's around somewhere. I don't know.
In the Mojoverse?
Who the hell knows?
Okay.
He's such an underused character that it's hard to say where he is nowadays. But, you know, there were interviews with Peter David about what he was going to do with Longshot. Maybe the real Longshot will come back, but it was, you know, he didn't waste any time in saying, nope, he's a Skrull. So all of these hidden Skrulls in the Marvel Universe just aren't, you know, there's no drama behind their popping up. So I'm pretty disappointed with the storyline. And now I think Marvel is starting to realize that they have not done a very good job with the story, and now we're saying, oh yeah, Secret Invasion is just going to set up the next thing that's coming, which is going to be really great and everything.
What's the next thing
so they're
that's coming?
Disavowing it already?
They kind of are, I think, from what I've read. And I forget what the next thing is called, but it's supposedly, I don't know.
Even better.
Big and cool. Who knows?
Well,
but we'll see.
I'm whatever. Really, I mean, Final Crisis, I'm actually very behind reading Final Crisis and Trinity and
I hear that's not going too well either.
Everything that doesn't come out from the library. Actually, I've heard just the opposite. I've heard that they're doing quite well with Final Crisis and with... Actually, I haven't heard much about Trinity, but I've been hearing that Final Crisis is quite good. And it's a little... That this it depends on how much you want to invest in it. That if you read it and don't think, who are all these characters? Why are they important? You know, if you just read it strictly for, is this a cool story? It's good. If you have been reading, it's even better. And, you know, if you go back, if you use this as something that you say, huh, that's a cool character, I'd like to know more about him, maybe I'll go and find stuff about him, then you have all that stuff going for you as well. That... I mean, Grant Morrison does use a lot of continuity, but if you just read it as a strict comic story, you don't really have to worry about the continuity. Yes, every one of these characters has a history in the DC Universe, but so what? You know? We come into the middle of all comics. Spider-Man, X-Men, none of us started reading any... You didn't start reading X-Men from number one.
No.
You came into the middle and...
Number 200 was right.
You came in and caught on and went forward.
Sure.
And stuff. So, but I've been hearing very good things about Final Crisis, but what I'm really looking forward to is the Blackest Night event that's supposed to be happening in, it's either 2009 or 2010.
Is that a Green Lantern?
It is a Green Lantern one.
Wow.
It's the follow-up to the Sinestro Corps War, which... If you haven't read that, Marty, it's out in trade right now. You can get it from the library, and it's you like Green Lantern, and I bet you would like the Sinestro Corps War.
Okay, so is Batman dead yet?
I don't know. I haven't read the Batman RIP stuff yet.
Either. Okay, so is any of it out yet?
Well, it's yeah. The whole series, I think, is out,
okay.
But
okay,
it's not in trade.
Oh well, sorry.
Well,
but
I mean, it might still be going on. I don't know what the current cover, if they still have the RIP banner
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's too bad we don't have someone here who's reading Batman, because I mean, there's like all these additional, like peripheral comics now in the Batman universe. Like they like the Penguin has its own comic, and
well, no, the Penguin doesn't have its own comic. That is part of a series where each of the villains got a number one issue, but it's only
the number
one. I think it's like Joker's Asylum, the Penguin number one. Joker's Asylum, Two-Face, number one. Joker's Asylum, Poison Ivy, number one.
Well, so they're not going to get
like,
number twos?
No, no,
did
no,
Egghead get one?
They're all... No, Egghead did not get one. Neither did King Tut. Although, apparently, King Tut is appearing in something, and he is the Victor Buono...
Doesn't he...
Batman 60s series King Tut.
Doesn't he grow up to become...
Steve Martin?
No, Dr. Doom? Or...
you know, who did...
That's
Rama
Tut.
Okay. Actually, I don't think Rama Tut became Dr. Doom, did he?
No, he became Kang.
Kang, that's it. Thank you.
But there was at one point a question of whether or not Kang was Dr. Doom.
Uh-huh.
In unrelated news, we ran into someone at Renaissance Festival today, and what was her name?
Kang.
No. What was
Cassie
Rama.
Lang.
Cassie Lang. Oh, okay. Like, why would you... I thought you were talking about some friends that you saw, met from years ago, and I'm like, why would you bring this up on the podcast? Yes, we saw Stature at the...
Renaissance Festival.
And she was kind of pissy, I'd have to say.
Really? I thought she was nice.
Yeah,
well, she was
nice.
Pissy towards me because I recognized her from a comic book.
Well, okay, so...
Just happened to be that was her name.
Yeah, I figured.
And Jason Johnson had told her this many times. Johnston. And,
Johns.
And she had not had anyone else ever tell her that her name was a comic.
And then when Mike heard her name...
Well, Jason got all excited. Jason got all excited. What'd you just call her? And I accidentally called her Ant Girl. So I'm sure that wasn't very good.
Wow.
All right, would you like to listen to a quote from Alan Moore? Which just popped up. It's,
Alan Moore is on the line. He just sent us.
Popped up where?
From, on Topless Robot.
Topless
a
Robot.
A blog. Yes.
Which is my
that's a very
blog.
Nice picture of him, by the way.
Yes, it is. It's him looking.
Show it to the computer. So
yes.
Out there.
Anyway.
It's like his press photo, though. He looks like that.
Right. Anyway, so this blogger quotes... I think my favorite part about this Watchmen movie is how every few months people call up Alan Moore to ask him what he thinks about the film, and he has to find some new way of spewing bile and hate all over it. Most recently, this is his quote, "I find film in its modern form to be quite bullying," Moore tells Jeff Butcher. "It spoon-feeds us, which has the effect of watering down our collective cultural imagination. It is as if we are freshly hatched birds looking up with our mouths open, waiting for Hollywood to feed us more regurgitated worms. The Watchmen film sounds like more regurgitated worms. Blech. I, for one, am sick of worms. Can we get something else? Perhaps some takeout. Even Chinese worms would be a nice change."
Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't eat your rice. It's maggots.
Hancock wasn't, regurgitated from anything. Just throwing that out there. I like to.
I beg to differ with that. Hancock was nothing original in.
Well, but it wasn't like it wasn't a title that had been rewritten.
Well, I don't think Alan Moore was talking about comic book adaptations in general. He was talking about cinema in general.
Yeah, but I think he was saying cinema in general is all about adaptations.
I don't
it's
think
like
that's
regurgitating
what you're saying.
Something.
I think
that and spitting it back out in your mouth.
I think
but
he's
like,
they're not really taking original ideas, and they're just kind of taking what's
well.
Been
and actually, I didn't necessarily take that to mean adaptations either. I took it just to mean that Hollywood spoon feeds you the story,
and
that you can't have a clever movie because Hollywood thinks that America, well, not just America, but that. The audience is too stupid to get clever things.
That's
it.
I think that's exactly what Alan Moore is trying to say.
Yeah, that's why I got out of that.
And I don't think Hancock.
Okay, fine.
Really
all right, fine. You're right. I kind of heard that slightly differently. But you know what? I think a lot of films are too smart now. They just try and say, too much.
You would much rather.
Marty's
have...
being totally serious, by the way.
Yeah,
you'd much rather
Express
have City of Angels over
example.
Wings of Desire. Right.
What about Wings of Desire?
You'd much rather have City of Angels over Wings of Desire.
Mm. I did actually really like City of Angels.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, I did also really like Wings of Desire.
Which did you like better?
I don't know. It was a long time ago.
Whoa!
I can't say for sure.
I don't think I've seen either of them.
Wings of Desire was a little bit slow.
I'm a member of the
MTV generation.
Oh my god.
Also, I have to say, there were fewer colors in Wings of Desire.
Well, yes. Duh. That was a stylistic choice.
It means something. It meant something to the film.
This is causing Jason physical pain.
Yeah,
this conversation.
He's tearing his hair out now. What do you think it meant that it was in black and white?
Well, when did it change the color?
Wings of Desire?
Yeah.
Was it one of those where it changed the color? I don't even remember that,
yeah,
actually.
Yes, there were black and white sequences and there were color sequences.
Oh, really?
So when he took on physical form?
Pretty much.
Oh,
yeah.
Why does any filmmaker choose to film something in black and white like Steven Spielberg did?
I think it's
all
budget.
Okay. I don't think Steven Spielberg was
all right.
I've had an issue with the budget. In fact, I would almost guess that it probably costs more to process something in black and white nowadays than in color because it's done much more frequently.
Right. Although, hey, I've got a theory. I think maybe it's when they've got ideas that are too big and they want to kind of make less things for people to focus on.
Yeah.
Then they like
Marty wants to take his iPhone rectally right now.
I think it's baiting
me at this point. Instinct control.
Nice.
No, it's a best for whatever.
Anyway,
couldn't
possibly be taken the wrong way at all.
we were talking about something.
Yeah.
About cinema.
In general.
Marty baiting me.
Down.
And Alan Moore just providing the ever.
So
I would be interested in seeing like a documentary
topic,
about Alan Moore.
On this topic.
There's a documentary about Alan
Moore?
No,
but I would
be
interested in seeing one.
Can anybody think of any cinema in recent years that maybe really contradict what Alan Moore is trying to say?
Transcended.
Yeah.
Like good cinema, or what are you saying?
Well, yeah, I mean,
well,
something. Yeah. What would pass the Alan Moore seal?
Here's the thing. I don't
You'd
think
have
it's
to ask Alan Moore.
I don't think
made
it's,
in America anyway.
I don't think. Well, not necessarily. I don't think it's anything made in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of stuff from Pedro Almodovar.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's certainly
some of the Coen Brothers stuff, probably. Not necessarily Burn After Reading. Although I do want
to
see that really bad.
Yeah,
we all
saw it. It was pretty fun.
It was good.
It was fun, though. It was not like
it wasn't
a
brilliant.
Yeah, it wasn't a brilliant movie. It wasn't saying a lot, for sure. But it was a fun movie.
Wes Anderson, maybe?
Maybe.
Wes
Anderson. I don't know if
what
he really
particular?
Saying anything, though, either. His
what
movies
in particular
are very...
from Wes Anderson would you say?
Life Aquatic or Rushmore, not Royal Tenenbaums.
Royal Tenenbaums, totally.
I vote
yeah,
Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah.
I liked Rushmore so much better than Royal Tenenbaums.
But yes, I think, I definitely don't think he dumbs down stuff. In fact, I think the last one that he did, Darjeeling Limited, could have used a little bit more condensing.
It did kind of.
You think it
should have
been chewed up a little bit for us?
No, not chewed up, but edited a bit more, you know?
So, I did feel like it was a little bit long.
And some parts unnecessary.
Yeah.
But never, I think, dumbed down, so.
The iTunes part should have been
up in that, for that.
Oh, you movie. Just want to see What's Her Name Naked.
Yep.
Who?
Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Oh.
On that note, we may have run out of comic-related things to say this week.
Worst episode ever.
I'm reading The Road, which is not a comic book, but a novel, and it's also being made
into... Can't talk about it. You won't let me talk about
it. It's being made into a movie. That's
is it
why it's
being
road.
Made into a comic?
The Road. Oh, I do want to read that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I hear it's really good.
Are there
Viggo Mortensen, the book, is starring Viggo Mortensen.
Are there comic versions of any of Neal Stephenson's stuff?
You know, we were just looking for that because...
he's coming to town.
We posted... He is coming to town. We should post that
is
on your
comics. Gifts?
What does that... Is that comic
related? Is it related? No, probably not.
You should post it on your blog, but I don't know.
You could comment on my post.
Yeah,
because I went to an interview with him.
Basically, Florence wrote a post about a couple of interviews with both Neil Gaiman and then also coincidentally Neil Stevenson.
Yeah, you might want to fix the spelling of Neil Gaiman's name on your post.
Oh, really? Did I
fuck
that up? I caught another typo from that same post later. I must have missed that one. Sorry. Oops.
Yeah, the one about with his name, I think that was in the headline for the post.
Oh, nice.
How did you spell it?
Gaiman.
Okay.
Not Gaiman.
That could have been bad.
Gayman. No.
Like, I'm sure he's never
seen
that spelling before.
Of course, would he really be upset to be thought of as gay? I mean, it's Neil Gaiman. I mean.
Yeah.
No, I guess it depends on the tone
of
the post,
sort of bizarre,
too. So. The post is negative in any way at all. Then.
Yeah, which it definitely wasn't.
Okay.
But
all right, well,
hasty.
Should we wrap it up?
Yeah, perhaps.
Sure.
Right. Everyone.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
And have a good night.
If you want a transcript, send an email to Marty Greger. He will type it out for you.
All right. Bye.
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 Bye.